Lance Erline joins us. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? You know, I did a sports map piece last week that I was careful with how I wrote it because I don't feel like getting heat from the NFL. But I basically looked at futures for, you know, rookie of the year, defensively, offensive rookie of the year.
You already killed Darius Geis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Geis is in there, wasn't he? Yeah, 10-1. So instead of making it plus 1,000, I put 10-1. That felt like a more like square thing to say.
Yeah.
Other than saying I actually have actual numbers like plus 1,000. So I thought Geis was okay. I mean, Saquon Barkley at even money, I guess that's fine. You'd like to get a little something extra.
There ain't much value in there. But his first preseason game, he looked like he should be.
He had that one run. I mean, you know, that run is exactly why he's the highest player I've ever graded.
Like, I think, you know, and I don't know as much about any of these rookies as you do, but I think if we assume Sam Darnold is going to be a day one starter, then a quarterback in New York City, he's probably going to have a leg up.
He's one of my guys, a plus 1,700. That doesn't make any sense for him to be that big an underdog as offensive rookie of the year because he's a pretty talented player. Like you said, New York City, you know, it's not optimal around him, but still, anytime you get a rookie who may go for the full 16 at quarterback, I think you got to take a look at it.
That's where I'm at because it's rare that you find a guy who – they like, you know, before the season, this is a day one quarterback. This is the guy. And I don't think you can say that about Baker Mayfield at this point.
Nope.
You're not sure. So
Josh Allen won't say that about him.
Oh, definitely not after his first performance.
Lamar Jackson could be a little sneaky. I don't think they'll pass on him.
They pay a guy so much money, they've got to give that guy every chance to succeed.
I think they'll do it. I think they'll work in. There won't be enough snaps from Lamar Jackson to do that. Rosen could be a sneaky selection, but
he's got a bunch in front of him.
Bunch in front of him, and I don't think that team's going to be very good either. But from a running back standpoint, Geis going out makes it a little bit easier for Saquon Barkley from a running back standpoint. Kerryon Johnson could be a little bit of an interesting value play because they like him in Detroit, and he can play all three downs.
Yeah.
And so he might be one of those sneaky 1,000-yard rushers who ends up getting 300 or 400 yards receiving, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, this is the best statistical year of any running back.
Yeah.
What about, and I know they split running backs and all, but it seems like if you're invested in a guy that high, I love Sonny Michel as a player. Do you think he's going to put up enough numbers?
Well, I guess he's got the knee issue right now. Yeah. So that's what concerns me right now because I had heard that was a little bit of an issue during the draft. There was concerns medically about his knee, and now all of a sudden he's got a knee issue in New England. So I'd probably stay away from him based on that. I would have said yes, but I kind of – that makes me a little nervous. Now, Philadelphia's got – who did Philadelphia get? I feel like there's another one, not Sonny – oh, I think – so I think Nick Chubb could be an interesting guy over with the Cleveland Browns. I think he could be one of those interesting running backs who – I mean, Barkley's going to get a ton of carries, so I would imagine. So I think, you know, there's a reason that he's going to be like, I want to say he's plus 300, 400, something like that. Now, no, I think it's even money, actually. Now, rushing, I think another one, one of my favorite props is Leonard Fournette leading the league in rushing. And a lot of people are saying Zeke Elliott. I don't care about the guys who are the chalks. I'm trying to find some live action. And he's going to get, he had like 268 carries last year. And he was a little bit hurt. They improved the offensive line. He's a second year in the league, so he's going to understand the league better. I think there's a chance Leonard Fournette has one of those 1,500-yard seasons. And he's going to get a ton of carries because they need to run it.
You mentioned Kerryon Johnson. The other running backs that I feel like are going to be over 200 carries, like the rookies, I feel like Rashad Penny has a chance to get some real reps in Seattle.
He could.
I think Royce Freeman is in a situation where he could easily see 200 carries.
Where's Royce?
In Denver.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ronald Jones. Like, Ronald Jones is the best running back that the Buccaneers have.
And I talked to somebody from Tampa the other day who said he looked really good in pass pro stuff. So if he can play on third down, that's a whole new level of opportunity for production. So, yeah, I think Rojo's another very intriguing. And they've got a decent offensive line in front of them, too.
Right. And I mean, let's face it, the first couple weeks, there'll be a run-heavy offense.
Yeah,
you know?
No question. No question.
So real quickly, you did some over-unders. Cousins, you had over 25.5 passing touchdowns, and Alex Smith under 23.5. Nothing's happened to change your mind on either of those, right?
No, not really. I didn't think Cousins really had great targets to throw to in Washington. And you've got Diggs, and you've got Thielen, and Rudolph. I see a lot of opportunities for him to kind of light it up. Now, you know, the thing is, he puts up Schaub-like passing yardage, but similar types of passing touchdowns. But I think that changes this year. I think that the passing touchdown thing goes to the neighborhood of 30 for him.
Does that put him, if that happens, he's suddenly in the elite conversation, right?
Well, I don't use that word lightly, so I still wouldn't be ready to call him elite. I would say it gets him to tier two.
Okay.
Tier two. And tier two
is tier two
pretty
where,
good tier.
Where Drew Brees lives right now?
I think, you know.
Is that where Matt Ryan
lives?
See,
a lot
lives?
Of people like to put, I think Matt Ryan is three. Matt Ryan, you know what surprises people? Matt Ryan had one big year with Kyle Shanahan, who mm-hmm. everyone has a big year with Kyle Shanahan. The guy's a great play caller. You look at the years before Shanahan and the years since Shanahan, what is all that exciting about Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan coasts on more reputation than probably any quarterback in the league. It's really shocking when you look at the numbers.
I think, when I think of Matt Ryan, I think it's a guaranteed 4,000-yard guy, and which, you know, isn't like it's not what it used to be a 4,000-yard passer.
Right.
But I don't know if Matt Ryan's ever had a season in his career where he wasn't a 4,000-yard guy.
Julio Jones is over-under and pass-catching touchdowns. It feels like a Shanahan type of number, even though Shanahan's gone. It's like 7.5.
Matt Ryan, the last time he threw for less than 4,000 was 2010.
Okay. What's his touchdown numbers been?
Since 2010, it's 28, 29, 32, 26, 28, 21, 38, his MVP season,
yeah.
And 20 last year.
Ugh, so, 20.
Yeah, last year was not a great year for him. And you know,
no, and they didn't run it. And Devontae Freeman being hurt probably didn't
help. That didn't
help.
Julio not being... Uh-huh. His normal self.
Calvin Ridley's over there. I think that's an interesting opportunity because Calvin Ridley can get wide open. There were times where Calvin Ridley was waiting for so long for the ball to get to him from Jalen Hurts. On tape when I was watching, I thought Calvin Ridley probably should have had at least 250 more yards receiving and four more touchdowns,
yeah.
Five more touchdowns. He just couldn't get the ball in time.
I'm curious your thoughts on your Houston Texans after one preseason game.
I don't really have any. I mean, you know, I have some very minor ones. Like, I thought Lamar Miller looked way quicker this year. Now, he's lighter. He had a lot more juice.
I just thought everything that went to the left side looked better than it did to the right.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's like, you know, maybe... I still think the offensive line is pretty bad overall.
Yeah, we'll see.
But, I mean, if the left side can look like that all year, that's
so they were a
promising.
They were a functional running team last year. They were terrible in pass pro. I think they would like to be functional running to above average running and then be better in pass protection. I did think Julian Davenport did a pretty decent job in the snaps that I watched. Like, I wasn't all that high on him coming out, so I'm kind of... You know, I'm kind of intrigued to see how quickly it comes around for him. I thought he did okay in limited snaps. I do think that the Texans have some intriguing pass rushers for the future in Duke Ejiofor and Brennan Scarlett. And who am I missing? I'm missing another one.
Let me ask you about Ejiofor real quick, because one of the things you said coming out of the draft was he was a guy who would get a lot of pressure on, not necessarily finish. And I know it's preseason. Yeah. That's exactly what we saw, right? He got back there a lot, didn't really get to anybody.
Kind of like a Brooks Reed thing.
Yeah.
And that's fine as long as you have somebody who is a finisher. Like, if he's part of a unit, there's unit rushers, and then there's individual rushers. And if you've got a team that functions as a unit, that they're all, you know, fully functional in terms of what Wade Phillips had here the first couple of years, that's fine. You can have those guys. But you need dudes to go get the quarterback. I don't think he's ever going to be a dude, but he's really skilled as a pass rusher. He's just not a great athlete. So once he runs into athletes on the other side, he'll struggle to get home. But it doesn't mean he can't be a functional member of a pass rush that gets after the quarterback. I just don't know if he's a finisher. That's my concern.
And that was the first thing that popped out watching him the other night, because I remember you saying that when we had you on. But How do you feel about the inside linebackers? Because it looks like they got three pretty good ones.
I love it. I was. It's been a while since I was a fan of Cushing's. I just felt like Cushing physically wasn't the same guy. Wasn't a great take on linebacker. Didn't have the same ability to run. This Dylan Cole guy, I watched him. I gave him like a 5.4, which is the equivalent of maybe a fifth round pick that's going to make the team and has a chance to become a better player. He was in it just elite athletic numbers. 40-inch vertical and like ran in the low 4.6s, I want to say. He's rocked up. I thought he's a pretty good talent coming out, and I was surprised he was undrafted. So obviously he's playing exactly like I thought. He's playing to the very best ability I thought he was capable of already. Zach Cunningham playing like I thought he would. Bernardrick is a banger and thumper. I think they have three linebackers right now who all do a little bit different things, and they fit really well together. I think this is the best spot that their linebacking corps maybe been in a long time.
It's just crazy that, you know, when we talk about the Texans defense, we're like, oh, this is they're pretty good here, pretty good here, really good here. That was the 32nd ranked defense in the NFL last year. How is it possible?
Well, Dylan Cole got hurt early on. Maybe
JJ, obviously.
JJ, Whitney Merciless, maybe even bigger than JJ was Whitney Merciless being out. And then you had bad safety play. And I mean, I feel like the Texans will probably make, they led the broadcast off with, this is a team, but by the end of the year had 27 players on IR. Well, yeah, you start putting guys on IR the last two weeks because you need roster spots. It's, you know, that's kind of ridiculous, but they did have some really big injuries. We know that. I just think that having better safety play, having a healthy linebacking core, and getting all of your defensive line back together, that really could make a big difference. Because before they were 32, they were good the year before. Right. They gave Tom Brady in New England all they wanted, at least for a half. So which one is it going to be? I don't think they're going to be a great defense. I don't think they're going to be a terrible defense. I think if you're a top 12 defense, you got to be happy. Yeah,
assuming the safety play is going to be considerably better, right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
does that in turn make cornerback play better than it was last year?
Well, the pass rush will make, if they get after the quarterback, that makes cornerback play. They didn't get home with their pass rush, and all of a sudden, Jonathan Joseph losing a step showed up.
Yeah.
Kevin Johnson not being as good when he's healthy showed up. Adding Aaron Colvin, that's going to help too. That's something we hadn't talked about. When you get after the quarterback faster, they have to get rid of it quicker. Cornerback job is way easier.
Where is Kevin Johnson currently in like the pecking order of Texans cornerbacks? Because that's a guy I don't hear about anymore.
Yeah, I think third. But that's kind of shows you their lack of depth at the position, really. I mean, Colvin maybe one, and then two, Jonathan Joseph probably still. And then Kareem is probably fourth.
I feel like Kareem's like Kareem's a really quality nickel corner.
Exactly. They're talking about him at safety. Here's the bottom line.
But Kevin Johnson's the guy you want on the outside, and he's not that.
Well, the Texans
anymore.
Have been shopping Kareem. I mean, they're going to say it openly, but there's more than one team that said he's been on the market. No one's going to touch him.
Yeah.
So I think the Texans are interested, and if they don't move him for a draft pick, they'll probably hang on to him, maybe ask him to take a pay cut, and then use him as maybe a nickel corner and a box safety. And, you know, they'll find different ways to use him. He just can't run anymore.
Right.
If you can't run and you're a cornerback, they never played him on T.Y. Hilton. They knew that was a disaster.
Because now I think about Jonathan Joseph, how much time's left on, how much tread's on those tires. And then when he leaves, what does the state of the Texans cornerbacking, and God forbid that happens this year, that we see the tread come off.
You know what's funny? I brought up cornerback play 2 years ago, and Texans fans like, are you the dumbest person who's ever lived? We have Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Jackson. We just drafted Kevin Johnson. And fans don't recognize the importance of drafting ahead of being an absolute necessity. Like, you always want to be 1 year ahead of it, and sometimes two years ahead of it.
Oh, this guy's retiring. We should draft this guy now.
Yeah, then you're too late. Now you're frankly a year too late, but you didn't have draft picks. Next year is going to be a corner for sure. It's going to be offensive line for sure. And, you know, depending on how JJ does and where they are with with Jadeveon Clowney, it may be a defensive lineman fairly early, too.
It could be wide receiver.
It could be a running back again. Yeah. Could be another wide receiver. Yeah, depending on
if Will Fuller's good or not good.
How Fuller looks, how the cornerback position looks. It could be a full-time tight end, a wide tight end, you know, a combo tight end, because they got these pass catchers. But I don't know if Ryan Griffin is the tight end of the future or Jordan Akins. We'll see. That guy was, they drafted him as a 26-year-old. So we'll see how they approach that. But cornerback for sure will be an early look. And yeah, you're right. If they don't rush the passer well, cornerback's going to get exposed again this year, in all likelihood.
One last guy I want to ask you about, because you were really high on Jared Jones-Smith when they signed him as an undrafted free agent. What have you heard about him, and did you see anything out of him the other day?
Haven't heard. No, I didn't see him the other day. I haven't heard anything about him. I'm going to be out at practice tomorrow, and I'm going to really keep an eye on him. I haven't, you know what, I need to ask about him. But we talked about this on the morning show. It's been out of sight, out of mind for the Texans. I mean, It used to be, if you can't go to practice, you can't see anything. What do you want us to talk about? I don't know what to talk about.
Right. Well, we got, and Cody Stutes is going to be out there every day doing his observations for Sports Map, so we'll have that.
Oh, good.
But yeah, it's like, now I don't have any interest in going out there. I used to go every year the first couple of weeks because you learn an awful lot.
A lot, yeah.
And, you know, now you start.
Well, I'm excited just because it's my first opportunity to actually see these guys, like, on the hoof and see what they're about. So, and he is one of those guys I really want to see. Now, he came off a catastrophic leg injury and made it back to Pitt. But if he, it wouldn't shock me if he ended up being one of those guys who they cut, if he's practice physically squad. Healthy, practice squad, just try to develop. And same thing with that big tight end, Jordan Thomas. He could end up being one of those kinds of guys, too.
He looks super, he looks like he should be really good at football.
He played wide receiver. Like, he was split out at Mississippi State. And I'm like, who is this giant?
Yeah.
He was like 250 pounds. Now he's up to 270.
Like, if you're picking guys, like, you know, everybody's got their shirt off at the park and you're picking teams. I'm like, that guy.
He looks like it. Yeah. If he's tough enough to play tight end, which Bill O'Brien has kind of hinted that he's tough enough. Like, read his transcripts. So I'll give you an example. Bill O'Brien you read between the lines, and he's saying, this guy's tougher than we thought he was. And then the other day they were asked about Sammy Coates. He's like, yeah, he's out there. Like, what have you seen Sammy Coates? He's out there practicing and, you know, getting better and doing what we ask him to do. Like, very few compliments, if there's a compliment. He's basically saying, you know.
He's a guy.
He's just the same guy that he was in college. Came out, has a ton of drops, tracks the ball poorly. Looks fast, you know, Tarzan Jane situation.
I know that it's preseason, but Brandon Whedon looked pretty good. Isn't it even more ridiculous now that Brandon Whedon wasn't the guy last year when Deshaun went down and they stuck with Savage that whole
time?
Yeah,
I don't know what that... I mean, I guess that was just...
He was so committed to that dude.
Absolutely certain. But Brandon Whedon is... I think Brandon Whedon's got a chance to be a decent backup.
Yeah,
I think
NFL. So too.
Yeah, he feels like he handles... Look, you're not going to win a lot of games with him in there, but... Very few backups are going to win you games in the NFL. So it is what it is. I just want somebody who's functional, can get you out of a game if Deshaun gets dinged up. And I think he can do that.
Brandon Whedon's not the kind of guy who's going to go 1-9.
What about Joe Webb? Are you guys interested in Joe Webb at all? Because
I think he's interesting.
I do.
I don't know if
I don't think they carry three quarter. Well, but he plays some special teams,
More than just a quarterback, maybe it makes sense to carry him.
And yeah,
like, you've got an emergency QB who can split out and play receiver or return kicks.
This guy can also play some special teams. And can play some emergency wide receiver. Then you have a gadget player that you can say, all right, you know what, he might not be active every game, but we can justify keeping him on the roster.
But most of the guys who you would consider gadget players that the Texans have had a chance to carry the last couple of years that were running backs mostly, they've been like, no, we'll stick with Alfred Blue, who's like, God, still, I don't get it. I'll never get it.
It is Alfred Blue, and it's just... I don't mean it as a slam against Alfred Blue, but I mean, could there be just a bigger piece of toast running back? Just there's no flavor. There's nothing.
There's no upside with Alfred Blue.
It's just, I mean, what is this? Just skim milk. It's Alfred Blue. It's skim milk. Like, that's it. Yeah. It's just some skim milk. It's Alfred Blue.
I've never understood it. I've seen all these running backs come through camp and they're like, man, this guy's got top-end speed. This guy's got this level. He's a great receiver. And then it's like, well, there's Alfred Blue, who, like, he's pretty much guaranteed to give you 2.5 yards every carry.
Yeah, what do you got there? Oh, nothing. Just some generic creamy peanut butter from the store. It costs 77 cents. Oh, it's Alfred Blue. Great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's serviceable. It'll fill your belly. You'll get full off of Alfred Blue carries. You know, if somebody gets hurt, he'll go 24 carries for 69 yards. That's fine. I guess. Three catches for 17 yards? Sure. No problem.
Yeah, I don't get it with that
I'm
guy.
With you. I mean, but
so if it's Joe Webb or Alfred Blue, I'll take Joe Webb 15 times out of 15.
Go get some guys with some juice. I'm the same way. Running backs with juice is what you got to have.